meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into The Winds of Change. It's Wednesday. That means Father Coys is here with you once again. And hoping to wrinkle some brains. Yes, it's always hard to keep that crowd out of this little studio
here.
You
just wrinkle my brain, man.
In the marvelous, amazing city of Chicago. God bless you all. Maybe you heard about a media extravaganza that happened over the weekend while many wonderful, good religious church-going folks were doing the religious thing in churches, especially in the sacred triduum, as we say in the Catholic faith, Catholic religion, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, and all. There was something going on in New York City, and it garnished quite a bit of interest, and I got to share that with you today because certainly piqued my interest as well. I'm not sure if everyone who tuned into this media show that came out were in church during the weekend. Maybe they were. I'm sure there must have been a number of people that were. And that's beautiful. And it's a powerful rendition. I'm gonna throw it at you here. Let's see if we can sing.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Why should you want to know? Don't you mind about the future?
Does that give you any clue what I'm talking about? That is, there's a new a remake of Jesus Christ Superstar, and it's amazing that it was so popular. I'm I've got to say right off at the outset that this is a mixed bag, and that's why I thought it was important to talk about, because the folks from my generation, we remember this from our youth back in the 70s, and for many young people today, that's ancient history. They might study the 70s in a history book somewhere, but most don't have that lived experience of the 70s, the 60s and 70s, I might add. And we're constantly, as people of faith, we're constantly dialoguing and interacting. We live in certain times. We live in certain places, right? And since this was a major feature when I was young, and that it's making a comeback, I was very curious. The stars are some of the bigger singers today, and I don't exactly know how big. I know Brendan Victor Dixon was in Hamilton, and he played Judas. And I got to get to him. I have an interesting clip from an interview he gave on the Whoopi Goldberg show, which reveals a lot, my friends. It reveals a lot. And that's why I say it's a mixed bag. Of course, John Legend played Jesus Christ, and my sympathies are so much more with him. Him being a more Christian, a devout Christian who does church in his private life. And then Sarah Bellaris was Mary Magdalene and a whole cast of others. Alice Cooper made an appearance, and I got to get back to that as well. It's really, how should I introduce this? It's a mixed bag because, one, it's good that the secular atheists or agnostics or the people that have given up on religion and church are interested in Jesus. That's a positive, no matter how you slice it. They're interested in Jesus. The fact that it was sold out and that it was a big thing could certainly be seen as a positive thing. And to be perfectly honest with you, as I look back on my youth, it affected me as well. Been going to church since I was little, being an altar boy and teaching CCD when I was in high school and all. I've had my ups and downs. I don't want to say I've been a saint or been perfect throughout the years, but I didn't have that run away from religion that a lot of folks do. I'd say times I wanted to run away from God, but religion held me fast and healed me in a lot of ways. That's another way of another reason why we should sometimes say fake it till you make it, huh? That brings another perspective to that phrase from Alcoholics Anonymous. People began to think, had questions, have doubts about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, about the moral life and the meaning and the reality of all the sacraments, and those doubts entered people's minds. And fortunately, a lot of dumb religion teachers were saying such things as, well, if you don't get anything out of it, it's better that you don't come. And I think that's a great mistake, and it chased a lot of people away. A lot of those religion teachers themselves were confused and in a bad way spiritually, as it were, and that spilled out and spilled through to their classrooms and what have you. So, but anyways, that there is a really good side to this comeback, if it is a comeback, and I wonder how long it'll run. But I have to say that there is, I need to issue the warning, the caution, because when I look back, even when I was young and I was attracted to it, I think, for the main reasons that a lot of young people were attracted to it. It presented a view of Jesus that was extremely human and that was very easy to relate to. If you didn't have a negative attitude about Jesus, you may have had a very, what we used to call in Christology class, a high Christology. When you thought of Jesus, you thought primarily of God and not primarily a man. And of course, the Catechism teaches that he is fully human and fully divine. So throughout the history of the church, definitely we've gone through stages where, in a popular sense, the human side has been diminished, and the divine side has been diminished. And if it takes Jesus Christ Superstar to attract some people to the human side of Jesus, I'll be glad. However, if it stays there, I'll be worried, because what I wanted to say is, when I was young, I thought, the fact that this isn't a faithful renditioning of Jesus Christ, because it's the story of Jesus Christ without the resurrection, and with a strong dose of skepticism about his divinity, that's also in there, and of course you can. This doesn't always come to our mind, but it is possible to believe Jesus rose from the dead. You can believe in the resurrection while doubting his divinity. And that is one of the crucial things. The Arian heresy was one of the major heresies of the early church. And what Jesus Christ Superstar represents is the Arian heresy, is what it really comes down to, because it's presenting a very human Jesus with a tremendous dose of skepticism about his divinity. In Tim Rice and Lloyd Rebber's defense, I'll say it this way, they're the ones who wrote the rock opera a long time ago, of course, back in the 70s. In their defense, they leave the question a bit open. They didn't want to slam the door. They didn't want to come out and have a song that sings, "We discovered the truth that Jesus is not God." So there is no song like that, but there are a lot of words, and you can't watch it without seeing this great skepticism, and it's the opposing view of the skeptic, namely that Jesus is divine, is very hard to see. And as a matter of fact, that's what the resurrection is, perhaps the number one greatest evidence of his divinity. And since that's left out, it lends itself to Arianism. And as a teenager, I remember thinking, if Jesus is, if our faith is turned into, I don't know if I knew the word Arianism back when I was in high school. Probably didn't encounter that and an appreciation for heresies until I was in college and post-college and seminary training, where it's very important to read the history of the church and see and trace, that understand the different battles that have gone on in the past that can be described as a battle for orthodoxy versus popular heresy. And there certainly are many, but Arianism is one of the big ones. So at our family Easter dinner, we were able to watch some of it, and couldn't watch all of it because we were busy enjoying dinner together. The question arose is, I mentioned that we have to, as faithful Catholics, be aware of the Arian heresy. And, of course, that's not a common term. And I'm sure that there's a multitude of Catholics who have gone through Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, and even Catholic college without really bumping into the issue of Arianism or especially an understanding its negativity. So I'd like to, I might need to do a series of shows on this, but we'll see what we can get through today. One of the things I would like to play for you here is the two lead singers.
Oh, you just wrinkled my brain, man.
There's some good brain wrinkling. Very good. Here's what wrinkles my brain a little bit. It's just an interview with John Legend, who plays Jesus Christ, and Brennan Victor Dixon, who plays Judas, on the Today Show. And you got to appreciate this kind of shows the enthusiasm that was a part of the present day. Part of it was live, like Facebook Live. Maybe some of you may or may not know this, but Facebook Live is sort of a new technology where you could share with your friends things that are going on right now, as it were. And they did this whole play like Facebook Live, although there were many, many cameras, and it's much more complicated, I'm sure, to do something like this than for you to transmit your birthday party to someone across the country. But anyways, here is a little interview onto the Today Show. It goes like this.
Formed in church. So this must be a really big deal for you to be playing this role on Sunday.
It's really a big deal. A lot of my family is coming in from Ohio and around the country. They're going to come see the show live here in New York. And we're all excited about it. You know, we grew up in a family that was very religious. A lot of preachers and choir directors and singers. And we've been talking about Jesus my entire life. And now I'm playing Jesus Christ.
That's the John Legend who plays Jesus, and it's delightful to hear. And I sense and I feel and I applaud his enthusiasm for playing such a big role, being a practicing Christian. I don't actually know his denomination, but I assume it's not Catholic, but I'm probably Baptist of some sort. But the fact that he was from a religious family, to me, is part of the story here that I need to show and explain. But right after the break, we're going to take a break. We're going to hear something very much different from the other actor, Brendan Victor Dixon, okay? So listen, stay tuned. I'm Father Tom Coyes, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush, here listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I'm trying to help analyze and, help promote Return of Jesus Christ Superstar, however, but also while promoting it, issuing a very important catechetical warning, which is the incredible presentation of Jesus in an Arian fashion. And hopefully you'll know what Arianism was and is and always will be by the time we're done with this show. So, and Jesus Christ Superstar, written by non-Christians, Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber, of course, they're not Christian. And so I was told My sister mentioned she was doing some research. She's very good with a lot of theater knowledge and what have you. She had mentioned that they kind of wrote the script from Judas's perspective. They wanted to tell the story from Judas's perspective, which obviously hasn't really been done that often, especially if Judas is going to be redeemed in a way and accepted. So, but in here is the guy who played Judas, Brandon Victor Dixon, who also played in Hamilton, and we're going to get to that in a sec. On the Today Show, he's challenged because the interviewer on the Today Show says, "Oh well, Jesus, John Legend had such a wonderful opportunity to play one of his favorite characters, being a religious person, but then you got to play the villain." But then here's his important response. Goes like this.
I superstar.
You're playing Jesus. Brandon's playing Judas. So, yeah. I mean, you have to be the villain here, Brandon. And there, you see what you're saying. Judas is misunderstood. I can see you.
This is the thing. My job is to make you feel differently about what you think you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop it there for a second. My job, first of all, she points out sort of the obvious assessment of the story if you're in a Christian culture, even though I have no idea what religious status the interviewer on the Today Show really is, but the association of the name Judas with traitor comes from a Christian culture. So she's saying, wait a minute, you're uncomfortable with that label. As we'll see, there's very few labels that some of the progressive left wing leaning minds today are comfortable with. There are a few, and we'll get to those. But he's saying my job is to make you think differently about someone you think you know. And I'm okay with that up to a point. It is certainly good to try to get to know each character in all the Bible stories. There's a lot of bad things that happen with a lot of characters when we read through the Bible, and some of the heroes were not always heroic. There's a heck of a lot of mixed bag in many of the characters in the Bible. So he's starting from a point that I think we can all nod to, and even with me and my skepticism about a presentation of Jesus, which is Arian at the foundation, it's certainly noble to want to try to get to know the characters better in the Bible. If that's truly, if you don't read or rewrite the Bible, as it were. But let's hear just a little bit more of what he said here. He's going on, he says.
Thank you, no. That's my job. Because Judas is not a villain. He is not a betrayer. And I think the story is a bit more complicated than that. The relationships are more complex than that.
Okay, and even that, Judas is not a betrayer because his character is more complicated than that. And I'll even grant him a certain wisdom up to this point. You know, we could see how he was a victim of his time, as it were, a victim of his upbringing, you could even say. But here's where it breaks down, and here's where I think a real problem arises when he says this.
Human beings are more complex than good and evil and good and bad and you're right or wrong. We are a spectrum of all of those things.
You guys have a great cast. It's you.
Okay, did you catch that part? In appreciating the fact that human beings are complex, now, I don't think any good Christian or Catholic is going to deny that, and we all know that we are a mixed bag and all the rest. However, did you notice what he said? Let me just do it again here. Let's see.
Humans are more complex than that. Just like we as human beings are more complex than good and evil and good and bad and you're right or wrong. We are
Okay, did you hear that? The fact that we're complex means we're beyond right and wrong, good and evil. This is a phrase that is famous in a number of philosophers, especially in the modern times. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche comes to mind. And the phrase beyond good and evil is often associated with atheistic thinkers. You get beyond good and evil and you think you've discovered a new great truth, that there is no good, there is no evil, that these and we can't call any actions good actions, we can't call any actions evil actions. This is the other side of my warning. One warning is just a Christology saying that you don't get to know the real Jesus if you don't come to an appreciation that he was divine, and you don't even come to appreciation of the Christian life and the Christian virtues that Jesus came along with if you champion relativism, or in other words, we only make good and evil through our own meaning, through our own explanation of things. It's not a discovery of a side of God. Obviously, God being ultimate good, and the absence of God being bad and evil, where in the classic Catholic theology sense, God being the fullness of being, and being being a term that you could interchange with goodness, that something is means that something has something good about it. Even a terrible person who is your enemy, you could say, well, that the person is, they exist, their existence is good, but they are corrupting their existence. I think anytime soldiers get that sense when they are in war and they're in battle, and many times they sort of admire their enemy, then they recognize that they are persons as well. They have mothers and fathers and children and husbands and wives and all the rest. And so there is that that sense the goodness of all living being. But that in the classic Catholic theology does not mean you do away with good and evil. It means you identify good with being and evil with the destruction of being. That's where you can get the logical conclusion that killing someone is evil. Murdering someone is evil. Whereas maybe killing someone in war may be good if you are trying to promote being, namely defending your family and your nation from annihilation. So these are complicated things, and unfortunately, Brandon Dixon interpretation is what I fear. That if if people, I see there's two major ways you can approach Jesus Christ Superstar. it's definitely in need of guidance, because the danger of it is that the emotional side is on the Judas hero side. It's not that Jesus Christ Superstar makes Judas a hero, but like Brendan Victor Dixon says, that he's no longer a traitor. He's no longer the bad guy. That he's as good as the Jesus figure. And so with that, you get a real dose of moral relativism and theological relativism as well. Doesn't matter what your particular creed is, they're all basically the same, because they're all basically man-made systems of meaning. And you in your religion build your meaning around your system of meaning, and over here we'll build our society around a different system of meaning. It's one of the key reasons of a lot of chaos and difficulty in our modern society, because of this theological relativism. Even when contradictory points are tried to be maintained together, wherein someone says the love of enemies is a good, another says the killing of enemies is good, whereas someone says Jesus Christ is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and another religion says that these kinds of people are the enemies of God.
Wow.
That's what we're...
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Oh, indeed, indeed. It does wrinkle my brain a lot. This is what we're kind of facing today. Let me go a little bit more, and I want to explain, in case, obviously, since maybe you didn't see the broadcast on Easter Sunday night, I have to explain a little bit, another little insight on the side, and more from a visual aspect, is obviously the characters were all very modern dressed, and it's obviously they were appealing to a young audience that loves tattoos, loves piercings, loves changing your hair color, loves jeans that have lots of holes in them. you get the picture. And I could handle that. That's part of the young scene, as it were. However, what a comment I need to make is, many times in the presentation, the vast amount of actors and actresses, the crowd, as it were, the 12 apostles and the other people playing, were all dancing wildly and exuberantly, and obviously you could marvel at the choreography and say, well, they did a good job, and they're wild dancing. I'll say kudos to that, even though I didn't don't always think that the human body was made for tattoos and piercings in many different ways. Okay, I'll just put that aside. But here's an angle that I don't think many people would have picked up on. The crowd vis-a-vis the two main characters, and remember that the story is told as a debate, as it were. It's a debate between Jesus and his wisdom and his words and his actions versus Judas and his words and his actions. And so it's a debate, and the fact that the story ends by, well, I got to say, it does end with a very dramatic and very visually pleasing disappearance of Jesus on the cross. He floats up into the sky and back into a bright light. It's almost as if he's going to heaven. But obviously, you can interpret that in many different ways, which is what usually popular theater strives for, because, you know, popular theater strives primarily to be popular more so than promote a definite truth or a certain angle. But that debate between Jesus and Judas is paramount. But many times during the play, the vast majority of actors and actresses are dancing wildly while Jesus and Judas are walking around them very calmly, as it were. Jesus looking over at Judas as Judas is saying his words, and Judas looking over at Jesus as Jesus is saying his words. And it almost gives you the impression that the crowd isn't paying attention to what Jesus and Judas are saying. They're just having fun dancing and living the good life, as it were. And that, to me, is a very insightful analogy of real life in our world today. There are the young crowd isn't really paying attention to the theological debates. They just want to be left alone, as it were, and be able to enjoy life. But they're too busy. Like in the play, the actors and actresses are too busy dancing wildly to really soak in the finer points of the debate that's going on. And it reminds me quite a bit of what is described by historians about the Roman Empire before it collapsed, because so many historians acknowledge the fact that the Roman Empire collapsed from a weakness within, that there was a moral degradation that was going on, a hedonistic frenzy that was going on that turned the average Roman citizen away from thinking about the big problems of the day. And of course, back in the 5th century, 400s, the big problems of the day were the Vandals and the barbarians outside of the Roman Empire that were soon to come in and topple the great Roman Empire. So just in the visual respect, the wild dancing and the two calm characters with their dialogue going on, their debate going on, is indicative also of what we have here today. Let's take a break, because you need an insight into the person of Brendan Victor Dixon, who not only played Judas, but also was in Hamilton. I think the vast popularity of Hamilton carried some of the audience into Jesus Christ Superstar. But it's so very important to appreciate what's going on here, which unfortunately I think a lot of people are going to miss. Well, I'm Father Tom Coyce. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website,
at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you have loved ones who are away from the church? Do you feel helpless, anxious, or concerned because people you love no longer consider themselves Catholic? My name is Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. I am a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, but I am also a former atheist. I was raised Catholic but rejected my faith for over 10 years. Evangelizing our friends and family is the most difficult kind of evangelization, but it is possible. I have written a book called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church, to help you invite your loved ones back to the church. You can find more information about this book at pauline.org/prodigalyoulove. Together, let's start an evangelization revolution.
Well, coming out of the break, I had to share that one with you. I'm talking about the media event of the Easter weekend. Jesus Christ Superstar made a return in New York City in a live simul broadcast. And that whole media and how it can be done is techie stuff. And I'm sure Nick, our great soundboard man, could have put that together quite easily. He's just a wizard with all those computer things. I'm much more interested in it as a theological and spiritual and catechetical moment. And I'm saying to you that it's quite a mixed bag because, number one, as a young fella, I listened to that rock opera is what we called it a lot of times. And I was moved greatly by the human side of Jesus. My favorite song, and I've mentioned this a number of times, maybe I've even mentioned it here, but it is that when Jesus sings in the Garden of Gethsemane. Maybe we'll play a little bit of that one of these days. But it's, if you know this story, that's the pinnacle of Jesus the human, the God, why have you abandoned me? Why can't you find another way, et cetera? And that's it hits the listener. If you are striving to live a good Christian life, as a Catholic, I was contemplating the vocation of priesthood, and it's obviously a young men who contemplate the vocation of priesthood have to contemplate the sacrifice it's going to bring, and that you have to take with it, and obviously celibacy is a huge part of that.
Yes, you just wrinkle my brain, man.
That's what happens in seminarians' lives if they're normal, red-blooded heterosexuals, as it were. That's also, my friends, why. Oh, I hate to make this angle, but I got to. That's why gay seminarians may not go through that angst, you know, in the sense of, okay, I'm going to be a priest, but I can't have my spouse. The Catholic priesthood has provided, and unfortunately sometimes still does, a beautiful cover for a gay man to have such a respectable career, while no one's the wiser if he's out with a friend of his, or like so often on for days off and vacations, you know, you would go with most of the time I go with priest friends, but also with family. And but if I as a heterosexual male went on a vacation or just stayed overnight on a day off with a woman, there would be a tremendous amount of talk, obviously, right? Yes, I'm right. but a gay man who goes on vacation with another gay priest or another gay man, and people are not aware that they're gay, doesn't raise any red flags or it doesn't raise any suspicions. Well, it can, of course, but it doesn't necessarily. The same way that a priest and a woman staying overnight or being together does. So that that being said, the that Garden of Gethsemane scene is so powerful because it does focus on the human side of Jesus that was looking for a different way to save the world, a different way to be the Savior, a different way to be Jesus, than the cross, than the great self-sacrifice of the cross. And of course, Christians are to follow in that footsteps. So, but here, I promised you, here's what I was afraid would happen in the 70s. Now I see it coming back again, and I see it. It has happened in a strong way. Brendan Victor Dixon, the guy who played Judas, as I said, was also in Hamilton. And he was the one who confronted Vice President Pence at one of the Hamilton shows. And here's what that sounded like. It's like this.
We welcome you, and we truly thank you for joining us here at Hamilton and American Musical. We really do.
Okay, it's a little hard to hear, but if you can strain, I'll try to. It's Brendan Dixon saying, "We're truly glad, Vice President Pence, that you are here, where you truly are."
Yes. We are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new.
It says, "We, the diverse Americans, we," meaning, and he's pointing to the crowd at the time, "we who are the diverse Americans are anxious, we are alarmed and anxious that you will not protect us." So as he goes on.
"You will not protect us, our planet, children, our parents, or defend us and uphold our inalienable rights, sir."
So he's saying, "We're alarmed and anxious that you won't protect us, you won't, or protect the planet, and that you won't protect our inalienable rights." And so,
"Truly hope that this show has inspired you to uphold our American values and to work on behalf of all of us."
So what needs to be said here, my friends, is that, do you notice where the cheers come from? What lines he's saying? It's obviously the spirit of diversity. He's saying, we represent here diverse America, and we're worried, we're alarmed, we're anxious that you're not going to protect us. There's several ironies that just need to be pointed out. Number one, if you're a good listener to The Winds of Change, and remember, I did a couple of shows on Hamilton. It was a very, I enjoyed it. It was it was a pretty accurate rendition of the historical facts. I don't think they played with the facts too much. But one of the things, one thing that was obvious and is part of the popularity is that it was an almost all black cast. Or real brown. the only real white person was the one who played King George, who obviously in the story of the American Revolution is the big bad guy. And so the irony just escapes Brendan Victor Dixon and all the ones who are cheering, because he's pointing back to an almost completely black cast and saying, "We are the diverse America." If it was really true that the cast was a representative of the diverse America, there'd be more white people in the cast. And so it's more of a, wait a minute, minorities are need to be heard. And, you know, that might have been a better plug or a better message. And again, he says that he's worried, especially talking to Pence. Vice President Pence is a very committed Christian. You might even label him as kind of a poster child of the Christian side of the United States. The fact that he was a Catholic and he became Protestant, that's a topic for a different show. But in this context, he's obviously representative of Christians. And what is being presented to us by him on the stage of Hamilton and vis-a-vis also by his explanation of the role of Judas as the non-bad guy, even though he's the one who led Jesus's enemies to his death, it's like saying that Mr. Pence, we want to recover the basic virtues of the American history, and Christianity isn't one of them. The fact that he's pointing out that yes, we need. Let me say it this way: there's two points that the secular left is on the side of Christianity. Two points that the secular left is on the side of Christianity, and that is the teaching of Christianity that all people are brothers and sisters, that all of humanity are children of God, although they wouldn't say children of God if they're atheists. They would just say that there shouldn't be, there should be a unification. There should be a sense of hey, I don't care what your skin color is or what language you speak. We're both human. And that is part of Christianity, and that's they're to be applauded, and anybody who promotes that idea is to be applauded. There, oh, well, very good. Look at that. And then the other point that the secular left is in agreement with Christianity is a side of Christianity that is pacifism. Jesus, of course, tells Peter to put his sword away when they're coming to get him. And so certainly pacifism is a part of Christianity in the sense that you don't get a strong sense of Jesus as military general, and they get that, and they like Jesus about that. However, it's very unfair. It's not fair to then say that you're going to attack.
That's not fair.
Oh yeah, like this.
That's
Do you
not
remember?
Fair at all.
No,
not fair. That's not fair.
It's sad. It is sad. I love that. That was a great clip from the Twilight Zone that Nick found. That was great. It's not fair then to say to Vice President Pence that we who are tearing down most of Christianity, except for those two points, the brotherhood of man and pacifism, we who are tearing down Christianity are worried that you, representative of Christianity, won't defend us. And that's what's going on here. And it's being missed. You could see that the atheistic slash secular left is almost being played for a fool. They're falling into the same trap that they're setting for their distractors. What I mean by that is, the person of Judas, representative of the anti-Christian forces in the world today, are saying, we fear Christianity. We fear Christianity because if you follow Christ, like Judas says, listen to the warning I give. You've taken this too far, etc. So the anti-Christian side of the debate in Jesus Christ Superstar is actually the anti-Christian movement of today. And the people on the atheistic secular left are definitely fearing Christianity. That's what pushed Brendan Victor Dixon to call out Vice President Pence. He's saying we don't like we just want to live, and you, the Christian, or Christianity itself is threatening our way of life. And those that will watch and see. We'll see Jesus Christ Superstar, and I hope many do, but anybody who does needs to listen to this broadcast from Winds of Change or study the history of Arianism, study the battle about Christianity, be aware of how Christians today are really one of the most persecuted groups of people in the world, and it's not being recognized that they're doing so. The characters of the apostles I find most interesting in Jesus Christ Superstar. One of the phrases that when they're talking about. What's the buzz? Let me see if I can find this here. There, that's what I wanted you to hear. That refrain that changes. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. Changes to. When do we ride into Jerusalem? When do we ride into Jerusalem? It's a slam at the their desire to go fight Rome. And Jesus stands as in opposition to that form of reform, and that is what we so desperately need. We need to find the real Jesus. I'm gonna have to come back to this theme. God bless you for listening. I'm Father Tom Coase. You've been listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sin?